Okay, good morning. Allow me first to lay the foundation for this message before we add verses on top of the foundation here. I've entitled this message, "By What Authority," or "Where Did You Get That?" And hopefully you'll understand what I mean by that when we're done. But again, the title is, "By What Authority?" Or where did you get that? When conversing with people, have you ever heard someone say, "The Lord gave me this," or "God told me"? I have. It's not as uncommon as you might think, but because we don't hear it a lot, I think, in our camps of fellowship. We don't hear that terminology. But when I'm out speaking with people in the world, I hear that terminology quite a lot. And perhaps it's with best intentions that they're sharing what God is doing in their hearts, so to speak. But this is walking in a fine line where one can be deceived. Because this is also where our thoughts reside, along with the voice of the stranger. We've talked about that before. So that makes it easy to tangle up and confuse our thoughts with the voice of the stranger, that we might be believing that it's the voice of God speaking to us. Remember, what we're talking about here is that people who think they are hearing from God outside of the written word. The Good Shepherd's voice will always be in accordance with the written word, because they're the same voice. If you turn your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 23, we're going to look at verse 35 and 36. "Thus will each of you say to his neighbor and to his brother, what has the Lord answered? Or what has the Lord spoken? For you will no longer remember the oracle of the Lord, because every man's own word will become the oracle, and you have perverted the words of the living God and the Lord of hosts, our God." This is just what I'm speaking about. Instead of going to the Word of God to find out what does the Lord say, they're just conversing back and forth with their neighbor, and so, "What's the Lord say? What's the Lord spoken?" And, "Well, here's what he said to me. Here's what God said to, in my heart." And so they no longer remember the oracle of the Lord, but every man's own word will become the oracle. And he says, "And thus you've perverted the words of the living God." So it's a very serious thing. When talking with people about what God says, most people fall into one of two categories. The first, they have very little biblical knowledge and think that their thoughts were given to them by the Holy Spirit. And thus, it's God's voice speaking to them and what God's then said to them, which is really the voice of the stranger intended to deceive. These are easily led astray by the second group, who are the religious establishment. And I've started speaking about them on my last Wednesday night lesson. We'll continue, I believe, this Wednesday I'm up. These are those that Jesus speaks about in Matthew 15. It says, "The blind lead the blind." And they both have the same destination. As well, do the scriptures tell us in 2 Corinthians 11 that Satan himself comes as an angel of light and his ministers as ministers of righteousness. You know, that's why Paul commended the church at Berea in Acts 17:11, because with great eagerness they searched the scriptures daily to see if the things that they were being told were so. That is so vitally important. Because Satan is going to appear as an angel of light. People are going to listen and follow and assume what he's saying is from God and his ministers as ministers of righteousness. So I started looking at Jesus' interactions with the religious establishment. And I noticed that Jesus many times would not give a direct answer, but he would speak to the heart of the issue in parables or in stories or illustrations. For an example, let's look at Matthew chapter 12, verse 9 through 13. Matthew 12, 9. Departing from there, he went into the synagogue, and a man was there whose hand was withered. And they questioned Jesus, asking, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" So that they might accuse him. And he said to them, "What man is there among you who has a sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will he not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable then is a man than a sheep? So then it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and it was restored to normal like the other. But the Pharisees went out and conspired against him as to how they might destroy him. As well, at times, Jesus would speak to the multitudes in parables and stories. Except unlike the Sanhedrin, who were always trying to set a trap for Jesus. Like in Matthew 22, when they said, "Well, you know, let's ask Jesus a story like he always does to us." And so they say, "Lord, this man had a wife and he died. And as the law or the custom is, the surviving brothers to take this man's wife and have children so that his name goes on. Well, he died, and then so the next brother, and so on." And so there were seven brothers that this woman winds up being married to. And so whose husband will she, or whose wife will she be in the resurrection? So all this was to set a trap for Jesus. We're going to come back to this story in just a minute. But I want to stay with this question. Jesus would ask a question by saying, "What do you think?" Followed by a parable or a story. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 28, they said of Jesus, he's this one that teaches with authority, not like the other religious teachers. And they said of him, and John 7, 46, that never has a man spoken like this man. I find it instructive to ask myself not only what did Jesus say, but why did he say what he said to any one person or group of people? Perhaps there is wisdom to be revealed as to how we should ask questions and talk to people. However, let us turn our attention back to the first group that I mentioned and how we might show that it is through the written word of God that the Holy Spirit speaks with us. But first, I might add, it was a fair question that the Sadducees asked Jesus as to by what authority was he taking charge of the temple, turning the tables over, throwing the gamblers out. Who was he? By what authority? It's a fair question. Same question that he asked Peter and John in Acts 4 when they healed the man that was crippled. And they come to them and go, "By what authority or by what power do you do this?" That's a fair question. And it's a question that we need to ask people when they say, "The Lord gave me this," or, "God told me in my heart this." Really, what is the authority that backs up what you're saying? Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy 18 and verse 21. You may say in your heart, how will we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? Isn't that an interesting statement? How will we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? This is what people who speak from their own imagination, from their hearts, want us to believe. A word from the Lord that he has not spoken, not to us, but to them, I guess, in their heart. We look at the context, it explains it. Verse 20. But the prophet who speaks a word presumptuously in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or which he speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. You may say in your heart, how will we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not come about or come true, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. So there were false prophets. There were people practicing witchcraft and all sorts of sorceries and things and speaking all sorts of things. And they were speaking presumptuously. And so they're saying, how will we know the word, whether it's from the Lord or not? And God says, well, if it's from me, it's going to come to pass. And if it doesn't, you know it's not a word that I have spoken. So that is a very interesting thing. It's the same thing that when other people speak, it's another authority that they're speaking by outside of the Word of God, just like these presumptuous prophets who spoke from their own heart and was not the Word of God. And so we would say to them, where did you get that? When someone says, well, God told me, or God put in my heart, I say, well, where did you get that? Because I would like to see that. What's the authority behind that statement you just made? That I can believe it too if it's true. Where did you get that? Let's look in Deuteronomy 29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our sons forever, that we may observe all the words of this law. Future things not yet revealed belong to the Lord. But things revealed in the Word of God belong to us. All you have to do is listen to what people say, and their speech will betray them. That what they're saying is not from the Word of God. And if so, sometimes they speak maybe from the Word of God, but it's not rightly divided. And 2 Timothy 2:15 tells us it must be. And so then how do we know to study, how do we know to rightly divide, that we're speaking the Word of God aright? Well, we must study to show ourselves approved to God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But usually we're speaking with people that have very little biblical knowledge. And usually what they do know is not rightly divided. But they don't know that, because they've been listening to the voice of the stranger and they don't know what the Bible says. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 4:11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. speak as the oracles of God. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17 tells us where all authority comes from. That all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or mature, or as mine says, adequate in the Word of God. Because the scriptures is the authority. And it's the authority that when we speak in God's name, it's by that authority. And someone says to me, where did you get that? Well, I'll tell you. I'll actually show you. And I'll give them the book, chapter, verse, line on line, precept on precept, here a little, there a little. Isn't it not fair that I can ask them the same question? By what authority? Where did you get that? Would you share that with me? I think it is. In Matthew 22, then, we come back to that. When they're asking Jesus this question about whose wife will she be in the next life? Because she had seven husbands in this life. And Jesus said to the Sadducees, you do err not knowing the scriptures or the power of God. And then he commences to tell them, here in Matthew 22, he commences to speak to them and to tell them, that, don't you know what the scriptures say? How God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the living, not the God of the dead. You see, the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. So that means they really didn't even believe in life after death. Think about it. If you don't believe in the resurrection, then you don't believe in life after death. This whole thing they were talking about, whose wife will she be, was simply trying to put Jesus into a trap. And Jesus says, you do err not knowing the scriptures. Because then you would realize there is a resurrection. And Abraham and Isaac and Jacob are alive. And you don't understand things, or then he answers the question, there is no marriage in the next life. But it's interesting that they're asking him a question about the resurrection, they don't even believe in it. So we see then in Luke 24, 27 that Jesus taught from the scriptures. I could go into many verses. Time does not allow. I could go into many more verses such like showing that it is by the scriptures where the authority is and that Jesus taught and we are to teach. And is it not fair that we can ask by what authority? Where did you get that? It's a fair question. It was a fair question they asked Jesus, and he answered it. Let's look at Matthew 13. Matthew 13, verse 10 through 17. And the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? Jesus answered them, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he who has abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing they do not see, while hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah has been fulfilled, which says, you will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears, they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and return, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Jesus shows why the lack of understanding they had. It was their heart condition. Your ears, you've closed. Your eyes you've closed. You're dull of hearing. Why can you not understand my speech? Then he explains to them why. Verse 18. He says then, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom seed was sown beside the road. The one on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word, immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. And the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And the one on whom seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So Jesus explains why, what the problem was. It was ultimately their heart, but because of all these things he mentions, this was their concerns rather than the word of God, rather than the kingdom of heaven. So he explains, this is why people do not perceive, do not see. It's their heart. Now, Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3, verse 3, why he could not see the things concerning the kingdom of God. He said, you must be born again to see the kingdom of God. Well, the time hadn't come yet for that. They could not be buried with Jesus in baptism because Jesus had not yet died. So he doesn't go ahead and explain all that for Nicodemus to get baptized at that moment. The time had not yet come. But he does explain to him what the problem is. You must be born again to see the kingdom. You must be born again to see spiritual things. And so when I'm speaking to people and they're telling me what God put in their heart and all that, their speech betrays them. And I think, you've not been born again. You can't see these things. And when I try to explain some things, they still can't see it. So, that's interesting, isn't it? Where we have to go with them from there. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting verse 9. 9 through 16, if you're taking notes. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. For to us, speaking to the Christians, God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural man, Nicodemus, does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. As we grow in this teaching of the Holy Spirit after being born again, and God opens our hearts and our minds, our eyes up through his written word, then we come to understand and have the mind of Christ. In John chapter 8, if you turn to John chapter 8 and verse 31, Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in him, if you continue in my word, then are you truly disciples of mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants, have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Rather than listening to Jesus, they start defending who they are. And you know what I find really interesting here is it says here in verse 31, this was those who believed in him. Huh. Those who believed in him. Look at verse 43. Why do you not... Well, verse 37, Jesus first tells them, as we're going to pick out a few things here, get to the point. He says, my word has no place in you. Now, verse 43, Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and have come from God, for I have not even come on my own initiative, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I'm saying? It is because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil. And he goes on and says that he does not stand in the truth. Verse 45, he says, because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. For which one of you convinces me of sin? If I speak the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason, you do not hear them, because you are not of God. Bold language. Jesus makes no words. He said it like it was. He who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason, you do not hear them, because you are not of God. And what was their response? The Jews answered and said to him, do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? They start calling him names. I've had that happen to me. They start calling you names. You legalist or some other thing, you know. But it's interesting that these were the people that it says they believed on him. How true it is of so many who say they believe in Christ and give the same response to his word. In 1 John chapter 4, we'll look at the first six verses. 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Selah. I put that in there. It means stop and pause and think about that. Many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming and now is already in the world. See, they had the Gnostics back then who taught that Jesus, he really didn't come in the flesh. There's no way, because flesh is evil, and if he's Son of God, there's no way. So that was the situation. And so John is saying, if you don't believe Jesus came in the flesh, you're not of God. That makes it obvious to us. Once again, your speech betrays you. He says here in verse 4, you are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. They are from the world. Therefore, they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. The us in the context is the inspired teachers. Those who listen to us, the inspired teachers, John says, they are from God. And those who do not listen to us, the written word of God, they are not from God. And this is how you'll know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So let's close with Hebrews chapter 1. And we'll look at the first two verses. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets and in many portions and in many ways, some translations say dreams and visions, etc. In these last days that we live in, the Christian age, he has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. You see, Jesus said in Matthew 28:18, after he had died and rose again and ascended, he says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Now you go and teach and baptize and teach under my authority. You teach these things. And so I ask people, and it's a fair question, by what authority are you saying what you're saying? That I can believe it if it's true. Where did you get that? It's a fair question. And people need to answer it. We need to ask it sometimes. Okay, that's just where my mind's been lately, and just thought I'd share it with you. Thank you.